Right, today I'm at Newton Abbott Racecourse with Patrick Masterson, the Managing Director of Newton Abbott Racecourse. Thanks very much for taking your time out today, Patrick.
My pleasure.
Just as a bit of background, how long have you been running the racecourse here at Newton Abbott?
29 years. So I was in the Army for 10 years before that, and I was fortunate enough to be appointed in 1990, June the 2nd, 1990, so very close to the 29th anniversary. And I was appointed by Colin Wilcox, who is currently our president, but at the time he was my chairman. So I was very grateful for him to appoint me. I would imagine one of the reasons why I was appointed at that time was because the industry was full of ex-army people running racecourses, and you know, maybe that was part and parcel of the thing, but I was only 26 or whatever, so I was very grateful. So, and I'd spent 9 years in Germany, so you know, coming back to here. My wife is from had a house here, or her family had a house here, and then we moved down here, and then I got the job, and the rest is really history, as they say. But okay. Yeah, it was good.
So has military discipline come in handy running a race course?
Absolutely. I've still got short hair. I still, as you ask all my staff, I am very, very strict on what we should do here, and how the appearance of the race course is very, very important.
Okay, now Newton Abbott's an independent race course. What are the biggest challenges that you face running an independent race course?
Well, since I've been here, when I first came here, we had 23 race meetings, and we used to race at the beginning of the season, which was August. We used to have a 3-day festival, and then we finished up in May. That's when the jumping season was originally. We had our biggest fixture was Boxing Day, so that was our biggest fixture within those 23 fixtures. And the last time we raced on Boxing Day, we had 13,000 paying people. I can't imagine that these days, with all the buildings that we've built and all the other things, the foot flow of people and health and safety and all of those types of things. So we'll never achieve those figures again. However, you know, later days, you know, we've had 8,000-9,000 in here, and but obviously so when I came here, 23, and we're the smallest racetrack. We're, you know, 30 meters wide, we're a mile, just over a mile round, and that is really, really difficult to have half your track as a chase track. They're fixed chase fences, so they can't move, and then you've got the hurdle track. So we have 3 or 4 hurdle meetings a race day, and 2 or 3 chases, or 2 chases and a bumper, for example. So you go round the bends at least twice for a minimum race of 2 miles. So it is a very difficult track. So what I, over a number of years, and also the abandonment of Boxing Day for 6 years on the bounce, we lost sponsors, we lost crowds, and all of those types of things. And people go somewhere else. When you want to come here for Boxing Day, if you can't do that every year, then you decide to go somewhere else. And obviously that was one of the decisions behind me selling it. So we sold Boxing Day for $450,000 to Towcester Racecourse. And that obviously gave us a lot of income that we could do other things with. So then there was the event of summer jumping, and because we have 4 million plus people coming to the West Country during the summer, we decided to change our fixture list and go for a summer jumping, become a summer jumping course. And we started it with Worcester Racecourse, probably back 15 years now, something of that ilk. So running the race course, the first thing that you look at, because the most important thing for you, we're here as a race course and we're here for racing, so you look at that first. I've changed the staff that we use on racing. We real professional staff that have got all the qualifications for groundsmanship and everything else, and I'm blessed that the majority of my staff have been with me. I think one of my grounds staff have been with me 19 years, and the rest, the least is 7 or 8. So we have a really, really good team, and obviously Richard in the stables as well as part of that team. And he's the only person that's been longer in the race course than I have. He's been here 2 years longer than me. So that as you see, shows that I'd like to think that my staff are very happy and content to what they do. They're all very professional people, and I'm grateful for that, and it makes my life easier on the track side.
Okay, now anyone that lives in the area will know that you're very high profile when it comes to advertising, trying to get people in. It can sound like a silly question, but how important to you are attendances for the general business running in the racecourse?
Well, attendances are really important, not just for the money that we get from attendances, it's also trying to bring up the next generation. The most important thing, one of the most important things in the industry at the moment, is trying to get the younger people to come racing. And as you probably know, one of the things that we've done quite successfully in the last 5 to 10 years is introduce children go free. It started off at 16 and now is up to 18. So children 16, I call them children, but under 18 they come in free. And we do that for various different reasons to try and educate them into, we have behind the scenes days here. You'll see today we've got racing for school here. We have those from the local schools 4 times a year generally at the race course, and they come round and we try to, it's done by the racing welfare team and the racing to school team. However, you know, we're part of that. We let them go round, the see all the facilities, the weighing room, the parade ring, and do all types of schooling stuff like mathematics round on their day. So that's really, really important. Going back to advertising, I think we'll all agree that sort of newspapers is a declining business. And therefore, social media is everything these days. You've got to be extremely careful what you say on social media, and therefore the buck stops with me, what we say. All my staff are aware what we use, how we use it, and I will obviously, any statements that we make or anything else has to be signed off for me for obvious reasons. So we're in a very, very much changing world I mean, we've got millennials now, and I've got children who are, you know, twins who are 26, for example, and they do everything on a phone. They shop, they do everything on a phone. If they lost the phone, they'd be, you know, and that is the culture that we have to look. This is why, you know, media rights and all things like that are very, very important for the race course, and I'm sure you're going to ask me about that in a minute.
Yeah, well, one thing that hasn't changed at Newton now, but that has changed at an awful lot of race courses, you've still got what would be described as a silver ring within the course enclosure.
Yeah.
And you've got very, very well supported by bookmakers. Now, is that something that you actively encourage, you know, are you supportive of your bookmakers on course?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, bookmakers are one of the bodies of people that make up a racing, experience, basically, because, you know, people love coming to see the, you know, the tic-tacs and the board changing, and, you know, it's quite an education, isn't it? I mean, I'm not really a betting person, but however, you know, you go out to the bookmakers and it's quite a little event, isn't it? You've got in the paddock enclosure and the course enclosure, you've got a number of bookmakers and they're all trying to get that pound, and they all do it different ways. Some reduce the odds, some, you know, increase the odds, or whatever they do. So it is a very, very important. However, I am fearful that, you know, bookmakers is going to be a dying age actually on the track. The reason why I suggest that is because the number of people who have pitches on various different race days, you know, it's all about position on the pitch. Some don't like some race courses where they're miles away from something. Here we're sort of more blessed in as much that, you know, we've got an area that it's quite quite close to each other and makes a good buzz within the ring. Mm. So yes, I hope for a long time the bookmakers are in there, but obviously, you know yourself, people are betting online, all of those other things that we all have to sort of try to have a mix within our racing experience.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned the media rights, and criticism is levelled at some race courses that they just put races on for the media rights, and they can survive quite happily with nobody without the hindrance of people actually coming. Now, you're different from that, but would it be a massive blow if the media rights money sort of dried up? Would you still survive, do you think?
To be frank, I think it would be really difficult to. I mean, you are aware at the moment that the government legislation with FOBTs has reduced betting shops' abilities to still have people paying £100 into these FOBTs, and it's been reduced to £2. Basically, what that means is our media rights is split into two. We've got a retail element of our media rights, and that what I mean by that is that you sell your pictures, your racing pictures, your race to the betting shop, so it's shown in every betting shop, and we get a certain amount of money for that. The other element is the streaming and the international market of your media rights, so they're completely separated, and the retail is three quarters of the media rights, so a quarter is of streaming and international market. So we're trying losing betting shops because of various different reasons, because they're either closing their shops because they're not making profit anymore or enough profit, and they'll only close their shops when their lease runs out, unless they're hugely rich companies and just don't worry about paying up a 3-year lease, for example. So that is a very complicated thing to understand, but in the pound, shilling and pence, it's a few hundred thousand pounds worth of income that has impacted. Now, for a race course like mine, that we make profits between, you know, 10,000 and 150,000 on any given year, depending on the loss of a meeting. Last year we lost Easter Saturday, one of our biggest fixtures. 8,000 people here last Easter, this Easter. So you can understand from my point of view, losing that amount of money is a huge hit on us, and I have to judge what we can and can't do. So media rights is very, very important to us, and we have to keep doing the best we can to maximise that amount of money. And, you know, the kids all watching on phones and things like that is a help to that, but obviously that knocks the other side because betting shops are closing for various different reasons.
They maximised publicity recently with an appearance on ITV Racing during the York meeting.
Yes, absolutely, and that was really a surprise to start with. I got a phone call about a month after I finished the fixture list last year, so that's last July 18. Ed Gretton, who is part of the ITV and the RMG setup for racing on ITV, and Ed said that we have a gap within the York fixture, and would I be prepared to put on a 25,000 plus race? And obviously, you know, whether it's on ITV 1, 2, 3, or 4, that is, you know, a lot of people watch TV, and certainly that. So that was a big field, which was great for us, and you know, hopefully we'll be allowed to be part of that again.
Okay, and what do you think could be done to aid race courses like yourself that are independent? You know, could racing do anything to make things better for you guys?
I think at the moment we have a complicated scenario, in as much as the levy board was going to go. We then created our own racing authority. Now that's been put back and we're back with the levy board again. And obviously, with all the things that have happened recently with bookmakers not paying into the levy for overseas money and all of those, it's hit the levy board. And what has happened is it's the race courses that have filled the gap with media money to fill the gap for prize money. And there's a huge amount of money in the last few years paid by race courses, over £150 million of additional money going into prize money to keep racing going. Now what's happened is that because the racing authority is no longer, and we're going back to the levy board, things are slightly changing. They've got different reserves than they had, and therefore it's we as a race course, you know, are trying to get as much money from the levy as possible for various different things. It may be to improve race course facilities and all of that. So it is very important that we as race courses and also industry really need to look at, you know, the vulnerability of particularly small independent racecourses from financial purposes. And as I alluded to earlier, you know, losing a race meeting costs a lot of money, and that's usually the defining about whether we make a profit or don't make a profit. I'm very fortunate here, and this isn't a reason, but I'm very fortunate here that my shareholders, and the racecourse is owned by 50 shareholders, ever since I've been here, the mantra has been to keep the racecourse here and to reinvest money into the racecourse all the time. And I've been, you know, that's extremely good news for me, because that's what we try to do. Each year we spend a lot of money doing various different things. The one difficulty of this particular racecourse is that we're on a floodplain, and I cannot get planning permission for anything unless it's built at 4 metres high, which, as I try to explain to a lot of people, if we put a building at 4 metres high, you then have to have service lifts, you have to have passenger lifts, you have to have all the infrastructure to build 4 metres. And that usually puts the cost between £500,000 and £800,000 before you even start. And that, for a course like ours, is just impossible to manage. So what we end up doing is, like we did last year, trying to refurbish buildings. 1964, that course grandstand, and I've just spent, you know, over £250,000 refurbishing it. You know, the front end with the play area, the grass area, the bars and that, and it's too small. And you alluded to earlier in the conversation about, you know, we're one of the few racecourses maybe that has two enclosures, paddock and course. I can't sit here today and say that in 5 years' time we'll still be two and not one enclosure. But if we are one enclosure, then I'm sure that the experience will be as good, if not better. But I can't guarantee how much we're going to have to charge, because at the moment we have a two pricing system for weekends and midweek. So I've reduced all the prices midweek to try and encourage more people to come during midweek, and up slightly the price at weekends, which I felt was a good thing. A lot of people who come midweeks don't like coming at the weekends because it's a drinky crowd and whatever else. So I thought that was the right answer. We're only three meetings in, and you know, I've still got a lot to consider about whether we change that for next season or not. That will have an impact on bookmakers, maybe that will have an impact on all sorts of things. But when you're a very small racecourse, you've got to look at every avenue possible. And one of the most important things that we've got to look at this particular racecourse is trying to earn more non-race day money. Although it'll always be a racecourse, and that'll be the main business here. So that's very difficult for me as the MD here to try and balance what's good, what's bad, what's right, what's wrong. Take lots of people's views. You know, people will always moan about something. That is just the nature of people, isn't it? We all do it. So people who come to Newton Abbot aren't, they're like that as well. And they'll soon tell you if they're not happy. So I'm happy with that. It's not an issue.
Okay, and so finally, what would your ambitions for the racecourse be in like the next 5 years?
Next 5 years, that we're still here. First and foremost, and you know, hopefully that will be. It's a 100-acre site, and it's on a floodplain, so we can't sell it for building land or anything like that. So, you know, we'll just work extremely hard, all my team, to make Newton Abbot a better place than it is today, and that will be hopefully being able to continue improving the customer experience, keep the prices as best as possible, keep trying to increase the number of children that come here, the next generation to racing. And importantly, equally as importantly, if not more importantly, keep the prize money where we are, so we attract the owners, look after the stable staff like we do with, you know, two course meals and things like that, because these are the people that, you know, get up in the morning at 4 o'clock, they drive the horse box to our race course and drive it back again. So quite rightly, we look after them, the same as the jockeys and the same as the owners. And of course, then somebody will say, well, the general public are equally as important. Everybody's equally as important than everyone else. But, you know, I have to decide, you know, where we target money.
Brilliant. Patrick Masterson, thank you very much.
Thank you, Simon.